And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock takes. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it. It's there. Hardman. Jackpot.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome in to Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2. YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. And across the faux marble table is Rashawn Taylor.
What up, though? Don't like that one. Got to try something else.
We're workshopping
immediately.
Some
so I'm going to try something new every morning until I find the one that sticks. That one wasn't it. I thought it would be good. It just didn't. I don't like it on the way up.
Across the glass, Jordan Schultz. See, he went with Schultzy. He was able to workshop that real quick.
Well, that figured out. Well, what's up, sports fans? Is mine, but it doesn't fit here. So,
well, everybody here goes by their last name too. Have we noticed that?
A Fish, yeah. Schultzy.
I mean, with the exception of Dusty Sprague. And you know Sprague.
I do a Joe Dirt, Fish.
Do you? Know, yeah. You know, Rop, Suk. You know, Swag. Everybody here kind of goes by a last name. So
I did get Schultzy. I did get called Fish in like football and you know high school.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Fish, get over here.
It's better than Fishy.
Fish, you blew coverage again.
Well, Fishy, you blew coverage again. Imagine how emasculating that would have been.
Absolutely not. I'm not going Fishy. Actually, I never liked to be called Joey growing up because I felt like it was very just like, oh, Joey.
Immature.
He's a little 8-year-old Joey.
But now my son goes by Joey strictly. Like that is his, that's how what he goes by. Which
I'm trying to think of some cool Joeys.
Fatone?
Joey Fatone is one. Yeah.
Joey Gallo? Ha, kidding.
Joey Galloway?
Okay.
That's a good one. Joey Gallo, I love it.
Joey Galloway?
Okay, it's two. Joey Lawrence?
I mean...
He's a cool one. He's on Blossom, I guess.
Yeah, who are some of the...
Joey Lawrence?
Coolest in the world.
Didn't he just get divorced like a year ago?
Did
cheated,
he?
Cheated
the
on
the fact
wife?
That you even know what's going on with Joey Lawrence, I mean...
Well, you know me. I keep up with anything Lawrence
How about
brothers.
This? Well, how about this as far as Lawrence related? So... Matthew is
whoa is
the
middle
dad?
One no is oh. is married to Chili from TLC
oh yeah
flex
that is a very late 90s early 2000s esque relationship right
yeah
there.
Dated Topanga
yeah
everybody wanted to date Topanga back in the day good for
Topanga's
Matthew
a one seed man
what about just simply Joey from Friends
Joey from Friends might be the most famous Joey
but he's
probably the most
his,
famous Joey
that's not even his real name
no it's not no, I'm sure people just see him on the street
his
and just call him
Matt
Joey. Which, how irritating would that be? Just think about it. If you're a famous TV star, and that's really kind of some of the only thing that you've done, you know, throughout your career, there are a lot of people that probably don't know your real name.
I don't know if I got paid.
Recognize you from the show. Hey, you.
100 plus
Chandler.
Million bucks a year would make that feel a hell of a lot better. Because they get a lot of royalties still pouring in.
Well, would you rather be known as the, what's the word, titular actor? Like the name of the person you played, or hey, you're that one guy, you know? Because there's always like there's many actors and actresses out there where you don't know their actual name, and you see them play different
a
roles
million
in different
things.
Movies.
Yeah, character actors.
Yeah, but again, you don't know who their name is.
What's my man from?
who's that
from
guy?
I want to say it's on Breaking Bad, and he's the black like Juan Carlo
Oh, you're close. Hey, you're that one guy.
Listen,
I'm trying to remember. Is it some Esposito?
Yeah,
or?
Listen, I've seen him in things since I was a young kid. I watched him in School Days that came out in like 1988 or 89.
He's in
or something like that.
Giancarlo Esposito.
He was just in Captain America, and I've been watching this man.
He's also in
almost 40 years. Yeah, in The Boys. I've been watching this man for almost 40 years, and I
40 years
almost. Almost. Seriously. Like, he's been in stuff dating back. He's in, how about this? He's in Trading Places. When Eddie Murphy is in jail towards the beginning of Trading Places, he's one of the people in the cell.
He's in Do the Right Thing also.
He's in Do the Right Thing.
First time I've ever seen this guy in my life was Breaking Bad.
Man, he's been around forever, and I still have never known that gentleman's name.
I knew his last name, so I'll take that as
win.
If I saw him on the street, I would probably been like, hey, Mr. Esposito, because I did not know his name was Giancarlo.
That's a win. Like I said, you can look at his IMDb and like, man, this dude has been in everything, and I can never remember his name.
When I think of character actors
Last Holiday,
I think of, wow, that's a good throwback.
It was a solid movie.
Well, Queen Latifah?
Yeah, solid movie.
Skiing? Yeah, sure. when I think of like character actors, I think of people that are maybe lesser known, but like you will recognize them. And I feel like Esposito, he's been that prominent character in Breaking Bad. He's been in video games,
he's been
too.
In everything.
He was in like Far Cry 5 or 6 as like a character. So I think of, you guys remember in Meet the Parents, it was the parent of like one of the brothers or sisters, like, it was their spouse.
Yeah.
Like that they were like a doctor or something.
Yeah, Dr. Bob.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. That's the kind of guy that I think of as the character actor. His name is James Rebhorn, or James Rebhorn, I think is how you say his name. And he was in everything from, I mean, Basic Instinct to like all the way up to Meet the Parents. Like that's the kind of guy I think of as a character actor. Yeah. So. Dr. Bob.
Yeah, James Rebhorner. That's Dr. Larry. That's Dr. Bob's dad.
Dr. Larry, excuse me.
Thank you. That's the my bad. Dr. Yeah. Bob. MD.
So again, would you rather be known? I think I would go with, I'd rather be like, hey, it's blah, 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 like referred to as the show character.
Yeah, at least they know you watch the show, but you don't watch enough to read the credits.
Hey,
so.
What's your name?
You're Snap Finger Famous. You're the guy.
What's his name? Famous. That's the perfect level of anonymity, right? You can still walk into a coffee shop, but then there are some days where somebody that's a fan of the show or movie will recognize you, but not all the time.
Yeah.
Pretty good life.
I don't know. I guess I'd want to be that guy, but, you know, I don't know.
Which pays more? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty much end of the day. Like, what prominent show am I on?
Yeah, I want those royalty checks.
Yeah, for real.
Rather than, and this is where it makes me wonder, like, you know, some of those actors, as you mentioned, like a James Rebhorn. Like, I can't imagine he's getting big paychecks.
Well, he's
for
dead.
Was getting big paychecks for his roles. I mean,
yeah, that's the kind of, gosh, what's like the day rate for SAG? It's like $2,000, maybe $3,000. So, like, if you're shooting for a week on a movie,
He was in Blank Check. I think he was his dad.
He was the dad in Blank Check?
Yeah.
He was Preston's dad?
I believe so.
Pervert. Mm-hmm. Got to kiss a grown woman in that movie.
That movie is all the way wrong. I watched it again.
So many things.
I watched
wrong
it again
it.
Like maybe a month and a half ago. You know, Disney Plus. Shout out to Disney Plus for having all the old school jams
on
there.
What's Preston Waters up to nowadays?
Oh, I thought he was.
Oh, a lot of neck tattoos. That's for sure.
I don't know. What happens to young kids when they get a lot of money early? Okay. A lot of neck tattoos, like you said.
Well, I wouldn't consider that a lot of money, but it was definitely some money.
He got $1 million in a Blank Check, man.
Do you think someone recognizes him at his age now? Like,
no.
Dude,
you know
who you look? You look like an older version of that kid in Blank Check.
Have you ever seen? Yeah. No, I don't know. What's that kid look like now?
That movie, man.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those movies that you remember from your childhood, and then you watch 20, 25 years later, and
this is not cool.
That
older woman was coming on to him. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Watch again. She was giving him signs that she was with it.
Karen Duffy.
Oh, well, she was a hottie. Still is, actually. And the banker in that movie is an idiot for handing any amount of money to a kid that comes in with a check, especially one for $1 million.
Tone Loke in that movie?
What?
Tone Loke. Tone
Loke.
Yeah, he was. He was one of the gangsters.
Oh, wow. I forgot that.
Juice was his name.
Yes, he was the guy that was supposed to pick up the money. And then he said, no thanks, I'm not thirsty. Preston did in response, and he's like, oh, this kid's just playing it cool, huh? Okay, I'm giving him $1 million.
What a great movie. Again, watch it again. It's like,
I still quote that movie quite often. There's one particular line from that movie. It's when the incident happens where Preston gets hit by the car and his bike run over and the guy's writing his check. And then there's that one other kid in the parking lot just heckling and just won't shut the hell up. And he goes, I think this guy's been drinking vodka, to the dude who hits Preston. And I reference that all the time. When someone doesn't know what the hell they're talking about and just possibly sounds drunk, I just hit him with that line.
I don't know if I remember any lines from that movie.
That's the only one I remember.
Yeah.
Because we would say it all the time in my family growing up. Like, if my dad was doing something stupid, or my sister, or me, possibly. So I think this guy's been drinking vodka. Yeah. Blank check.
Yeah.
God, there's like four character actors in this movie, too. Yeah,
Michael Lerner.
Yes,
Michael. Once you see the picture of that guy, it's that guy.
Yeah, he was the guy. No, he was like this and that. No, Michael Lerner, the best known character of him, probably the overbearing boss in Elf.
I was going to say the douchey boss in Elf.
Yeah, exactly. And then another one, Rick Ducommun, if I'm saying that correctly. He was in Groundhog Day. He was in Die Hard. Like the guy that was popping up out of the pothole, being like, hey, we got a problem down at Nakatomi Plaza. Like that. This guy's in Blank Check. I mean, it's full of character.
He was also an MVP, Most Valuable Primate.
Oh, my God. That's a throwback.
Forgot to see that one.
How about that? Yeah, that was, they were trying to clearly ride the coattails of Air Bud there, you know, came out year 2000.
Air Bud was a monster, but you know, Bingo had to walk for Air Bud to fly, you know.
Was Bingo the monkey's name? Or?
No, Bingo was the first dog.
Was his name-o?
Yeah, he was the first dog that was amazing, you know, well, sans Lassie, but you know, he was the first awesome dog that could do everything and could skateboard and could
Bingo.
Save the day.
Who the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, see? Exactly. You don't know about Bingo. And then Air Bud came out because we saw, oh, people really like dogs.
Because he could get buckets. I mean,
he could get buckets, but I mean, so could Bingo.
The one line I remember from Air Bud is, there's nothing in the rule book that says a dog can't play basketball, that fat ref. It's like, no, we're not going to allow this.
Air Bud was out there killing.
They decided to. Well, because nobody was able to guard him. Nobody actually went up to think, oh, hey, I'm going to block this shot while it's being set up for the 2.5, 3
Listen,
seconds.
If we're at the park and Air Bud is there and I could pick between him or Sidney Dean or Billy Holt from White Man Can't Jump, let's go, Air Bud.
There's a great TikTok.
You're on my team.
Of a guy sitting in his car, and he's acting like the dad of a kid who just lost to Air Bud. And he's just sitting in the car, and he's just like, you gave up 28 points to a golden retriever. He was really good. He was a dog.
Yeah. Out there killing. I mean, layups, you know, fillet. Like, he was out there. Air Bud was really giving them business. He was really doing that out there.
I got to go find that.
Seriously,
it's so great.
When we talk about all-time, just based on stats, when you talk about all-time great fictional characters, Air Bud's got to be right up there, man. He was really getting buckets on fools.
Yeah, and then they did the football movie after that.
They did a bunch.
I think I recall.
And then he made All-State there.
Yeah, football was stupid. That movie was dumb.
Wow, they did. Yeah, they did a soccer one.
I think they did a soccer one.
They did a baseball one.
Might have been wrestling in there.
So how does he hold a bat? Does he just always bunt, or is he a pinch runner?
That's with his tail.
How does that work?
Hits with his tail.
With his tail.
He hits with his tail. Thank you, Rashad. You know what? I didn't even think of that.
Air Bud, golden retriever. Golden receiver. Air Bud, world pup.
No. No.
Get it?
Yeah, World Cup.
Air Bud, seventh inning fetch.
Yep, that's
those
about all
cheeky bastards in the creative writing
stuff
room.
Here, he's got four legs, man.
Air Bud spikes back. That was a volleyball one.
Air Bud's playing volleyball now?
This is a great opportunity to say the direct-to-TV movie sequel market hopefully is dead, but should have died
never ever die.
My God.
Will never, ever die, especially with things like Tubi now and other places you can really put stuff. The straight-to-TV movie will always be a thing, and that's good because people are still getting paid a lot of money from straight-to-TV movies.
I mean, one of the more heartbreaking moments, though, when and I don't know this by off the top of my name, but I have the list right here. Josh, the main character in Air Bud, when he's telling Buddy to leave, just go. He's crying, telling him to leave. God, that's one of those childhood moments that sticks with you. Heart-wrenching. And then he does go, but then he comes back and they win the big game. And then he chooses Josh over the creepy ass clown.
Shocking. Yeah, who'd want to go home with the creepy ass
What
clock?
A twist that would have been.
Gotta be honest, haven't seen a lot of Air Bud movies, so wouldn't really know. I saw the first basketball one, was like, I think I'm...
You don't remember the creepy clown that tries to steal him?
The main antagonist was.
One time.
One time?
I've seen Air Bud one time.
One time?
He was getting busy, though.
That's probably all you need.
Yeah, that was it.
No. That's
that came, Air Bud had to come out in like, what, 94, 95, something like that?
97.
97, wow. Okay, so definitely.
Coming up on 30 years of
I was
Air
trying
Bud.
To talk to girls at that point, so I wasn't really watching a lot of Air Bud.
Rashad. Oh, you would have gotten more girls if you would have brought up Air Bud to them.
I know,
and you
want right?
to come over and watch Air Bud on VHS?
It's about a golden retriever. I'm sold.
Who plays basketball?
I'm sold. Golden retrievers.
You know, I really used to get the ladies.
I love
man.
Golden retrievers.
I haven't come over like, out so... People can come over. Couldn't go any further than the front room, though, which was a rule by the parents, which I respected, God. Whatever. But, you know, have on Milo and Otis. Tugging at her heartstrings.
Homeward
Milo,
bound.
Oh.
Every single time.
Milo and Otis, man, that was... You want to talk about a movie watched 100 times
I will watch
my
that
household.
Today if it comes
oh,
on.
Oh, me too. Hilarious.
If it comes on, if I catch Milo and Otis, I will watch that today.
Questionable animal practices in that movie because I'm pretty sure it was made in Japan and there has been stories that came out like... And even when you watch it, like...
That snow scene when they're just walking through like a blizzard and stuff, I was like...
They
have
a pug like battling, like basically going up against a bear... At one point, and it's supposed to be kind of played off as this playful thing. It's like that bear could shred that pug anytime it wants.
And they use three pugs. No, I'm just kidding. But
I'm pretty sure there was something about that with the cats about Milo. And there's one scene where Milo's getting like attacked by seagulls on like a sea cliff edge, and he's trying to get away. And then, sure enough, it just cuts to a cat leaping off. Of a cliff's edge into the ocean water below. Big ass jump. We're talking about like 80 feet up in there, 90 feet. And again, going back and watching that, you're like, that's pretty high up there into the ocean waters. I think that's where they lost one of the cats.
That's why they start putting those kind of disclaimers that no animals were harmed in the making of this film, you know, after that probably. So yeah, but I don't
but
I
absolute notice, classic movie.
Not gonna be ruined for me. I'm
oh
still
my
gonna
God.
Watch it. It's a great movie.
Just love it. The voiceover actor doing all the voices for all of the animals. Just hilarious. But yeah, as an adult when you revisit that movie, not nearly as cute and adorable as
I don't know. Got to see it. It's been a while.
And then what is it? Otis, the pug, he gets like his tail pinched by a crab at one point, and they like actually have the dog get pinched by a crab, and they're like, "Oh, this is hilarious. This scene's great."
Came out as a great movie though.
It was standards back then.
Hey, 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay.
Hey, you gotta.
There we go.
I mean, the audience.
That's a solid 80. Movie.
The Google audience reviews. There's more one-star reviews and five-star reviews.
But it's probably PETA.
they probably flooded those reviews.
Probably right.
Great movie though.
Absolutely. PETA's not going to let things slide when it comes to animals in their movies.
This movie that came out in 1964 is an abomination.
Seriously. I'm curious if there's anybody out there listening, text into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Have you seen Milo and Otis? Because I feel like that's one of those movies that is...
You've either seen it or he's like, what is Milo and Otis?
I've never heard of that in my life. Absolute classic. Staple in the Fisher household growing up. That and Wayne's World.
See? I mean, I think... Milo and Otis is one of the movies that transcends, you know, race and stuff like that because for way over in North Portland.
It brought a cat and dog together.
I mean way over in North Portland, you know, we enjoyed the same movie. And, you know, so it was a pretty awesome movie. I got to check it out again, though.
All right. Let's get sports and shall we? Dude, just an insane sports week.
Well,
I mean, ish. Yeah. I mean... When hockey is the leading, and rightfully so, it was the leading story this week. But you know that we're in that post-Super Bowl hangover when we do that hockey.
It is, but hockey all also took some shots at the NBA, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
PK Subban, hey. he
good
man.
Lord.
I don't know if we got the audio for that. But
we do. I pulled it for Sprague earlier this week. So
I mean, if you haven't heard that, maybe we can play that in the second hour at some point, because there are a couple things I wanted to get to in the first hour, including... A historic night at the Moda Center.
Ooh,
oh my God.
I was there, actually.
How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Celebrating
I was there
your birthday?
This historic night? Yes, sir.
The courtside seats?
No, although I was up in the club, but, you know.
Oh, no.
He got minutes, actually. Jordan got some minutes last night. Who didn't play last night?
I did miss out on, there was a pair of courtside seats available for $175 each, which is, in courtside terms, cheaper than cheap.
I was going to say, that's really good.
Yeah, so I'm sad that I missed out on those, but another game. But there are courtside tickets for cheap. They are there.
Well, let's get to the historic night at the Mona Center last night. Who would have seen it coming? We get to that next. Sports Sunday, 10 in the Fin.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Ah, oh. Sports Sunday, 1080 the Fan.
Free golf lessons, 1080 the Fan.
Yeah, getting it from the wrong guy. I think I told you last week. My golf game's been a mess, and I have been very determined to just get back to the grindstone. I think Instagram was listening to me because it seemed like 90%.
Instagram is the feds.
I think it 90% of my feed this week was just golf instructional videos. Like the silly cat videos, the cooking videos.
You typed in YouTube one time, like, oh, man, correct my swing, and then all of a sudden.
I think it picked up that I, because the guy I went for my golf lessons 2 years ago, over at X Golf in Tualatin, Andy Morris, go see him, he's great. I messaged him on Sunday. I'm like, bro, what time do you got? Send me a calendar. When are you available? I'm done trying to figure this out myself. I can't do it. Like, you know. And so I think Instagram picked up on that message that I sent him.
That's creepy.
And was like, dude, struggling with golf. Here's some
stupid
golf
AI stuff.
Here's some golf instructional videos. And boy, I'll tell you what. I am not the athlete that I used to be. That's for sure. It's been a lot of arms swinging lately. And I need to get more of that. That body, that turn, that torque in my hips. Yeah, exactly. It's been a very humbling week. Was it Thursday? We had the final basketball practice, and it was parents versus kids in the final basketball practice.
Did the kids give it to y'all?
Oh, no. I mean, I'd say humbling, like, as if we lost. Absolutely not. That did not happen at all. I think one of the kids even got, like, pissed. He's like, they're actually trying. What the heck? I haven't been able to sleep all week waiting for this day.
Think about what I'm going to do to these sixth graders.
So we did that. And then Friday, Joey, my boy, wanted to go to the rec center with his friend and get some shots up and play some basketball. And there were some eighth graders that were running 5-on-5. And then a few of them left, and so they asked me and Joey and his friend to play. And so I got to feel like the big man on the court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
down low.
Oh, yeah.
Throw it.
Man.
Mouse in the house.
It's a feeling I'm not used to.
Joe's out there setting hard screens.
Kareem Abdul-Jajo.
Well, there was one play, like, I didn't even do it on purpose, but I went down low to, like, get a rebound, and me and one kid, like, collided, and I could hear him. He was like, oh.
And you're Carmelo Anthony. F out of here.
And then the play ended. He's like, oh,
give me the effing ball.
He's like, oh, my God. I'm like, all right, I'm not that big, for God's sakes.
Good,
like,
Lord, kid.
Yeah. But, man, those kids. There was one kid on the eighth grader where just a shifty, speedy little effer. Like, just he had moves and could do everything. And I think after the first couple possessions of him trying to do that to me, I'm like, I'm not playing this game with you, kid.
No,
like,
you're not going to cross me over.
Yeah, exactly.
Not today.
Like, just, you know, do what you want to do. And if you want to drive and get a layup, good for you, you know. But it definitely made me realize, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not keeping pace with this kid at all.
Joe's boxing out hard and everything. I can see it.
Oh, man. I was getting animated. I'm telling
you. Slapping the backboard.
Oh, I'm not.
Tighten up, fellas.
Oh, dude. I, at one point, said to Joey, I'm like, cut! Cut! And his look on his face was like, oh, my God.
What are you doing?
Like, I'm still coaching you, kid.
I'm like, let's go. His buddy, his buddy Declan is just jacking up threes, and I'm just like, come, guys.
Drive to the hoop.
We're passing it once and then throwing up a shot. Let's go.
Set a screen.
Someone D him up.
Pick and roll.
Yeah.
And other people are looking like, look at this old dude out here.
Yeah.
Look at this old dude out here.
The favorite of mine was my dad's, put your hands up on defense, and there'd be five kids running with their hands just straight.
One of the kids said I look like Baker Mayfield, though. I've never got that before. That's definitely the beard, though.
See it a little bit.
Kids are weird. Not that you don't.
Definitely the beard.
It's just random.
So those two, and then as I was telling Rashad in the break, like, man, really, really working on that golf swing, and again, torquing those hips. Maybe I'm torquing. I don't know.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, maybe it would help, that flexibility.
It would never help.
But yeah, it's just
definitely
been
won't help.
Last 3 days, my dogs have been barking, as they say. Howling, I should say. It's like a pack of wolves down there.
Oh, what a hard time for privileged Joe over there. Taking golf lessons, his feet are hurting.
Ouch.
His hips are hurting from that torque into the golf swing.
To be fair, the golf lesson hasn't happened yet. I'm going in on Friday. We're going to work on some things.
Good Lord. So why are you hurting? Because of the basketball?
I'm an old rickety man now.
Stop. Playing eighth graders? Too much for you?
Yeah, playing eighth graders and sixth graders.
Three,
and
Joe?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Might as well be 53.
Stop it.
I was going to ask y'all if you wanted to do the 3-on-3 tournament the Blazers usually do in the summer, but
absolutely
never mind.
Absolutely not.
It doesn't sound like you're up for it.
Well, there's guys that are way
those
better
teams
than
are
me.
Super competitive,
I was
going
to say, that is not happening.
In the media bracket? No.
Oh, there's a media bracket?
Yes.
Sign us up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That,
I was
going to
say.
No, they don't put us in the elite. They put us in, it's like this media bracket. We're playing people from K2 and KGW.
Oh, sign us
all right?
Up.
Like,
now Marcus Greaves moved to Atlanta. Like,
hey.
I think we're good.
All right, well, I'm the chubby guy off the bench. That's all I want to be, all right?
Yeah. Just stand in the corner and hit threes. That's the role.
How many
of the
on the team? So what's
guy.
A so,
and I'll be Chuck. I'll put my butt into somebody and get a
so
rebound.
So what's the team? So wait, how many people on the team?
Four. Three on the court and then one bench guy.
Easy.
So I'm in. You guys are in. We need one more.
Will.
Yeah, exactly. Will Ertner, the tallest guy here.
Big. Play the post, Will.
Yep.
Just do your thing. We ain't going to make you do much if you don't want to.
I know. He's got those lineman knees.
That's why we're not going to make him do much. Yeah. Stand right here, bro.
Oh, he has to, yeah. He's probably just going to body everybody around. You imagine him, like, up on anybody else in the media, he'll body the hell out of them.
All right, well, there goes the segment. let's take a break. And
we'll be here for 2 hours. We're good.
We just
and this time, we will talk about the historic night at the Moda Center. I swear. But first, Jordan Schultz with a Sports Center update. A historic night at the Moda Center last night. Who would have thunk it? That this season, the Blazers were going to set a single game record for the biggest victory in franchise history.
Can you feel it?
53.
Can you feel it? I see you feel it in there, Jordan. Don't act like that.
53-point victory. Now, when I say against two, it makes a lot of sense because they're absolute dog water, as the kids say, against the Charlotte Hornets.
No, this
against Yusuf Nurkic.
This isn't the step up to greatness that fans are hoping for. No.
Also, you can tell the Hornets just got a big win against the Lakers here recently because they go and do that the very next game.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I didn't know if they played on Thursday or Friday. They did play on Thursday against the Nuggets. Sorry, I am not up to date on my Nuggets schedule and what they've been doing lately. Or excuse me, my Hornets schedule. But they come into the Moda Center last night, 141-88 victory for the Portland Trailblazers. My God, who saw this coming? Didn't they have one of their biggest losses in franchise history earlier this season? I'm pretty
something
sure they
like
did.
That.
They lost
by like 40-something to, I can't remember who that game was to.
I don't know, but it definitely happened this year.
They got scraped, yeah.
So in this single season, you have had one of the worst losses in franchise history and one of the best wins in franchise history. If that's not a Blazer season for you, I don't know what is.
That's, you know, I'm I'm not shocked.
Too good to be bad and too bad to be good.
I'm not shocked. The truth is the Blazers are a much better team than Charlotte is. You know,
they're good enough where they're above the dog water tier of the NBA and not good enough to really compete for a playoff spot or championship. And maybe you get a 10 seed in the play-on spot. Cool. But
I'll say this, man. This team was – they were supposed to win 23 games all year. That was their threshold. That was the prediction from most of the experts. The Blazers are going to win 23 games for the year. They did that before the All-Star break. I think there's something to be said for that. This team is trying to do stuff. I understand how disappointed everybody is that you're not going to get Cooper Flagg. Like, I'm as the guy that, you know, wants
I'm
the team
still
to
holding
be well,
out for our 4.5% chance.
There's still hope, right? You know what I'm saying? Because, again, when the Blazers got Greg Oden, they were like – not even
they
the
were
top
like
five.
I think it was fifth best odds.
Yeah, well, even still, like not the best odds, but not something that you'd be super, super excited about. It's all about how the ball bounces, right? How does those lottery balls end up bouncing? And if it bounces the Blazers' way, great. But for now, I think they should keep trying to play strong. They've got great players. They've got really good players. They got four dudes that can get you 20 every night. Every night, if one guy's down, another guy, one of those other three guys will step up. And so last night you saw Kamara is not one of those guys I'm talking about, but he can give you 20 if need be.
You got to it, and I was going to mention it later in the segment, but, you know, in a time in the NBA where we complain about dudes not caring, not trying, it's a bad product, you know, et cetera, et cetera. If there is one player on this Blazers team
1,000% agree.
That makes you motivated, makes you happy to watch the team, shows you that there is someone that does care, it's Tumani Kamara.
100%.
That dude, if he doesn't get first or second team all defensive MVP, I mean, that is just a downright abomination.
And the only reason they wouldn't give it to him is because he plays for
Portland and nobody watches up here.
But the things he's doing defensively, you know, leading the league in charges taken, you know, all and having won every single game, you know, every game that he's played, at least especially during the streak and up until now, he's drawn a charge. Like, that's impressive. That's great defense. That's patience. Like, those are things that you can't teach, unfortunately. And I think that's the type of guy that Chauncey Billups really needs to kind of anchor this defense that he keeps preaching about wanting to kind of instill for the Blazers.
Well, it's funny that he said it's, you know, something you can't teach, because this is something that, you know, like with my son, I've said it with basketball. I remember a game earlier this year. I don't know who they were playing. I think it was Oklahoma City. And I was like, to Monte Kamara, I was like, watch him this entire game. I was like, don't watch anybody else but him. And he was just giving Shea Gilgeous-Alexander the business and just making it uncomfortable and making him – I mean, I'd have to go look back at the box score, but it wasn't one of his best nights. I mean,
I think he still had a solid game, but at the same time, it wasn't him going off for 30-something and grabbing, you know, 9 assists throughout the night. Like, it's – again, you said the main thing, making him uncomfortable. Like, there is one thing, every player in the NBA can get buckets, and leaving them unguarded, they're going to go to work.
Lamar Hurd had a great line on Tumani Kamara last night where he's like, you know, this is a guy that was kind of, you know, left in the shadows of the Phoenix Suns and in the trade package for Dame. Tumani Kamara is the shadow. Wherever you go, he goes. And I was like, ooh, that's a good nickname now, the shadow.
Yeah,
for Tumani Kamara.
I like it. Make it a thing.
But again, like, he's one of those guys, like, where you see a team like this with the Blazers as they move forward, who is a part of the future, the moving, like, who you want to see as an integral part of this team, he is on that list. Again, to me, it comes down to 5 players that I want to see just moving forward, be a part of this team for the next 3, 4, 5 seasons. Tim, Scoot, Shaden, Denny Avdija. Wow, words.
Avdija.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Sometimes you switch the J with the D or
the
V.
Have you heard some of my
J
updates? It happens.
And Donovan Clingan. Like, those 5 right there to me are like, I want
that's
those
what you build around.
That's your 5. That is, you know, and you add pieces, draft, you know, not free agency, trade. That's what you build this core on. And Tumani Kamara is, I mean, when has the Blazers had a player like this? this
Batum,
length.
I think with last time, like Batum was probably the
I would end, say Kamara's and, offense though.
Now, better than Batum. No, because Batum could get buckets. He was just inconsistent.
I would say that as far as being able to run an offense, dish it out, have the ball in his hands, playmaking ability.
He was
ability,
really our point forward at
you
that
give
point.
It to Batum a little bit more, but I mean, to me, Kamara can go and get a bucket. He can drop. I mean, he had a dunk last night where it looked like Shaden going up.
He's had a few of those in the season. I know the last game was a loss, but he caught a lob. I was like, ooh, that's a great catch.
I believe the term that was coined by the late Brian Wheeler, not just boom shakalaka, he turned it into Batum shakalaka on a couple of different occasions. I remember a couple of good dunks by Batum. Yeah. And I don't think he could go off on like points-wise like Tamani has on any particular night, but he filled up the stat sheet, and he did all the things that you needed to do to help the team in ways that you don't really see in the box score. Yeah. He was a really good defender. You go watch Nick Batum in his early days, he was giving the guys the business on defense, and he was the one that basically always, if you remember, Batum, he's guarding the best offensive player on the opposite team, regardless. It was always his assignment, and he handled it perfectly back in the day. Tamani, maybe even a step above that. And what was he, like an early second-round pick?
Yeah.
Well, and traded in that thing with the Lillard deal?
And what the thing with Kamara, though, is that like maybe the Batum's defense was great, but Kamara just is he's the energizer bunny, man. Yeah. He just keeps going and going and going. And again, this is something I was referencing when like talking to my son, is that when my son plays basketball, is that he's very methodical, and he thinks a lot. And which is in basketball, like you can't really do that. Like you got to just go and then it's on to the next thing. And you can't really have a second to be like, okay, I just did this. Now I needed to do this. Like there are some kids and really it's one of those that you can't teach. It's some of them are just wired that way. And players, and Tamani Kamara is where it's just like, I'm going to hound you and hound you and hound you. And I'm going to be in your kitchen and in your back pocket the entire time. You are not going to go anywhere without me being right up on you. I don't care what you're doing, what the case of the game is. If we're down 20-30, if we're up 20-30, you are going to be in fits all night.
And those are the type of guys that can anchor championship contenders. When you have a guy like that, that can...
In 3 to 4 years.
Well, I'm not, obviously not today, but as you talk about those, you know, those five players and everything, if the Blazers are able to build around this young talent that it does have, and let's be real, the Blazers do have a lot of young talent. And if they're able to keep these guys together for a little bit. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Simons and everything like that. He's been here for a long time, but Simons is one of them dudes. Like, it's a guaranteed bucket. Like, it's when it leaves his fingers, like, I almost, there's not a time where I don't believe that it's going in. Even if it's going to, he misses, I'm okay with them shooting that three-pointer. Reminds me a lot of Dame, that sidestep that he has. Like, they practice that a lot.
Well, that's something he's added in, and that's, I forget what the coach is that Dame had, his shooting coach, and oh my god, Phil Beckner, I believe.
Sure.
He's a coach in the NBA that specifically works with guys on shooting, and
okay,
he's Dame's shooting coach, one of his trainers, and like Simons, when he throws up that shot, it's like, you must be hanging out with this dude, and must be coaching him, because that is almost dead similar to that Dame, like you said, sidestep shot and throw up a three.
It's confident. And so we're not sure what's going to happen with Simons, but even if you took Simons out of that, and I'm knocking on wood here because I don't want to see that happen, but even if you took him out of the equation, like you still have a Scoot Henderson, you still have Tamani Kamara, you still have Shaedon Sharpe. Like, and Shaedon, there's some Kobe in him. Like when I'm looking at him, I see young Kobe, like number 8 with the fro. Like
that's when the Blazers have the ball.
No, when
unfortunately,
they ball,
when
like,
they are on defense, he looks a little bit more like Luka.
And I think I think that's something you can. Defense is nothing but
it's effort.
It's energy and effort. That's really
it's
all
effort
it is.
And give,
you
know, an F.
Yeah, it's for real. That's all you have to do. It's just energy.
Well,
and effort.
Anthony doesn't give an F. So at least on the defensive side,
there's a lot of dudes in the NBA that don't get. Again, this is why, like, watching Tamani Kamara as a basketball fan, as someone who wants to see the NBA succeed and get back to the perception of guys, quote unquote, giving an F. Like, is that dude clearly cares? And that guy, like, when you see someone that cares. Who's another player? Jose Alvarado, right? Like, there's a guy that you hate to play against, but you want on your team. It's because pesky. Yeah, exactly. He's a gnat. The Pat Beverleys of the world.
Matthew Dellavedova. Mm-hmm. Annoying, but he will just give you the
Tony Allen. You know, certain guys, it's just like, man, you want them on your team. And I guess what? Every team that has one of those guys usually is one of the better teams defensively in the league. Like, because it's infectious, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When you have a Draymond Green on your team that's willing to pick up everything and have that energy and even kick some people in the balls if he has to, like, it makes the rest of your team feel like, you know what? Yeah, I can kick somebody in their balls too. Let's go. Like, and so I think that's the type of infectious play that you need if you plan to be a successful team. I think the Blazers have a lot of the right stuff in place. It's just, I think next year will be that maturation year where they're actually considered one of the teams that people should be threatened by in the league.
Well, out of curiosity, I went and pulled up the NBA draft lottery history of teams that won it. And I wanted to talk about some of the teams that were able to win the lottery with the same or worse chances that the Blazers currently have. Because right now the Blazers have the ninth worst record in the NBA, which puts them at around 4.5% of getting the number one overall.
Tell me there's a chance.
Well, there's a better chance of them winning the lottery than winning a championship, Rashad. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
Don't say you didn't say that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think because both of them are not going to happen. And so that's why I'm like, it doesn't really matter how we do it. Even if we get the second pick, it's still not the number one pick that we're all looking for. I understand, but I get it.
All right, let's take a look at this list of teams who got the number one overall pick with less than a 4.5% chance and who they ended up taking in that draft as well with that number one overall pick. We'll get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. So the Blazers currently with the ninth best odds of getting the number one overall pick. That is 4.5%. If we take a look at history, there is a few teams. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six teams that have had worse odds than that ended up with the number one overall pick.
And we're talking like, what, 80 plus drafts or so that are being measured here? So
80? I mean, they've been doing the lottery since, what, 80-something? I mean, so we're talking about like 40, 50 of them?
Okay.
When did they start the lottery? It was in like 87?
So can I ask 80, a question before
that's
we start?
A good question.
I don't know. No, you can't.
Please? Jeez.
I say the nay.
Yeah, 1985, Joe.
Are we going to assume that all of these drafts were on the up and up? There was no collusion.
Well, we
at
know
all?
The.
Let's
we
gonna, just say. Let's just give the assumption that they.
We all know about the whole frozen envelope thing
David Stern said that was bullsh. So
I mean, that's pretty hilarious, though. Freezing an envelope.
I know,
and it wasn't wet.
So that way he knows it's
like,
cold. Like, oh, that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just digging around. He did dig around for a while. You go look at the video, it looked like he was looking for an envelope. I think
this
that's
is when conspiracy
the
theories are
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious though. Like, I mean, but
so you said six times, and that would be out of
one,
a total
two,
40.
Three, four, five, six. Yes, six.
Out of 40 possible draft
so
lotteries.
We
so.
Don't think there was any collusion with LeBron being drafted to Cleveland.
I mean, I
Cleveland
do wonder
from
about that.
Ohio.
Kind of crap.
Like there was no
you know, that just laid out perfectly. Like the gods smiled upon LeBron and Cleveland for that.
I mean, part of me says, like, I think that people are going to watch LeBron regardless of where he went.
Yeah, but the hometown thing for Cleveland, which was desperately looking for some type of anything, like, it just, I don't know. That seemed almost too good to be
okay,
true.
Okay, but this
but
also,
keep going, though.
This kind of goes along the lines of, like, people having the NFL conspiracies for Kansas City. Like, who gives an F about Cleveland? Like, why would it be like, man, you know who we really need to make a good franchise in the NBA and have really rise them up?
Cleveland. Really cold-ass
you know what,
winners.
You know what, NFL team? You know, of all these years, guys, we've been doing the NFL, I think it's time to do Kansas City a solid. I think we should just start making some calls and doing things for them. You know, tell the refs, throw some rogue passing yeah. interference,
especially
roughing the passer.
When we're looking
Kansas
at
City
history.
Kansas City deserves it.
Yeah, when you're looking at history, mind you, the refs were never as blatant until this year. Let's just be honest.
Let's get all 31 owners, all 30 governors in a room. And be like, hey, guys, so we're letting Kansas City run things.
We've
for the next
never
few
complained
years,
about
right?
referees as much as we have this year for this one particular team.
Dude, welcome to
we
sports. I think the only, again, hockey's having a moment. I feel like their refs are the only ones that don't catch any flack. Umps are getting replaced by robots. NBA refs are getting berated every night. I mean, no player in NBA history has ever committed a foul. Did you know that?
Well, let's just be real. Hockey is the only one doing it right now. If we're keeping it 100, man, hockey is the only sport, which is the one. It's crazy because it's the one that nobody really watches here, especially, you know, probably here in the Northwest. But
we don't watch a lot of hockey. Don't you?
We love our Winter Hawks here in Portland.
Don't you besmirch the Hawks?
We don't watch a lot of hockey here. Like, we know that. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a bar and just seen hockey games on. Like, not a lot.
Well, you're going to the wrong bars,
I suppose.
All right, get to this list. Damn it. List Radio. People love it.
15% chance. So hopefully this happens.
4.5% chance that the Blazers get the number one overall pick. I will say, on this list, the first team that had odds closest to that, right above the 4.5%, was 5.3%. And that was the Portland Trail Blazers with Greg Oden. Mm. Oh, they had the sixth worst record in the league. So that gave them a 5.3% chance of the number one pick, and they got it.
I still remember that. That was the feeling of that happening was nuts.
That was the one of the best days I've ever had as a sports fan.
Which is kind of sad for all of us.
You're
right. I agree with you.
It was who we were able to pick with that pick. It wasn't just that we got him, that we got that pick. It was we were going to get one of the two, at that time, we thought generational talents that we will have ever seen until we would get a Wimby or something.
Okay, so in the year 2000, the New Jersey Nets had a 4.4% chance at the number one overall pick. Ooh. They got it, and who did they select? Do you remember?
What year?
2000.
New Jersey Nets selected Kenyon Martin.
That is correct. Right after that, and this is should be one of the easier ones to guess because it literally happened just last year, the Atlanta Hawks had a 3% chance of winning the number one overall pick, which they did, and they took the Frenchman, Zachary Rissacher. In 2011, that was technically the Clippers got the pick, but it was conveyed to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 2.8% chance, and yes, it was Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. That was in 2011. 2014 was the Cleveland Cavaliers 1.7% chance. No, it was not Anthony Bennett.
Is that what it was? Oh, was that that was Andrew Wiggins.
That is correct. That was Andrew Wiggins, who was later traded to Minnesota in that Kevin Love trade. And in 2008, the Chicago Bulls with a 1.7% chance. See, this is, you know, it's funny looking at in history because the Cavaliers in 2014, Bulls in 2008, they had the ninth.
Who did the Bulls get?
They had the ninth worst records, just like the Blazers do now, but they only had a 1.7% chance. So the Blazers' odds now are 4.5, which is about 2.5
they
times.
It's because of the tanking that Cooper, they're trying to combat. They evened it up on the top three.
But again, just seeing that, like, this point, you know, 10 years ago, it was only 1.7% and 4.5. I'll definitely take that 4.5.
If Cooper Flagg was from Portland, then
he's from Maine.
Not the right Portland.
He's close to Portland, Maine.
Not the right one. Yeah, but if he was from Portland, Oregon, he would be playing for the Trailblazers. Because who did the Chicago draft in 2008?
Yeah.
Who was
Portland one number away from getting in 2008 as well? Because I don't know if y'all remember, but the year after they drafted Greg Oden, Kevin Pritchard told the story about being in the lottery room, and the Blazers got the first three numbers, and everyone was sitting there being like, is this really going to happen? Is Portland going to get lightning struck twice again? And it didn't.
And they would have gotten Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
With that 2008.
And where's Derrick Rose from?
Portland.
Yeah, right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, when you have a generational talent like that, that happens to be from a city like that, like that's a built-in story in its own. So yeah,
I do think
there is some collusion somewhere. I don't think it happens all the time, but when you have a Derrick Rose, when you have a LeBron James, when you have these guys from, and they suck into their team, suck enough to be able to be in that lottery conversation, yeah, I fully expect them to be drafted there.
And the team that had the worst,
don't let New York have another good player sometime soon.
The team with the worst probability of all time in the NBA draft to get the number one overall pick, 1993. This was the Orlando Magic, which had to be conveyed to Golden State.
Chris Webber.
And yes, it was Chris Webber. That was a 1.52%.
What a trade.
Chance.
What a draft trade. Chris Webber for Penny?
I know, right? Like, nobody lost in that deal.
Oh, speaking of Penny Hardaway, Tim Hardaway, do you see...
he's been in the news.
Yeah, you see the beef with him and Tyrese
Halliburton?
Oh, my God.
I love it.
And did you see? Out.
And did you see the possible reason why he has that beef?
I did not.
Did Tyrese steal a girl from him or something?
Not Tyrese. No, it was actually Eddie Jones. So
whoa,
stole a girl from Eddie Jones.
Like yeah. back ooh. In the old NBA days. So Eddie Jones.
We're going on a tangent here. I'm trying to find the tweet. Okay, so this was Tim Hardaway Sr. said on Gilbert Arenas's show recently. He's like, if I could go back and suit up, I want to go F up Tyrese Halliburton. He talks so much S. I want to go back and bust his mother effing A. My God.
Whoa.
Potty mouth. He think he all that. And then one of the top replies was for people that don't know, Tim Hardaway was on the 2000 Miami Heat squad with Tyrese Halliburton's cousin, Eddie Jones. Eddie Jones invited the wife of Hardaway to his Miami high rise condo and slept with her. I don't know. I'm not going to read the next part.
And Tyrese Halliburton, I remember saying, tell him why you're really mad.
Yes. And that was Tyrese's response to that. Yeah, he said, really yeah, he's like, there's another reason for this. Tell him why you're upset, Tim. So, yeah, how about that? Fun little.
And I love Tim Hardaway.
Fun little NBA old school veteran small. Versus current player beef right now.
I love Tim Hardaway, but he's too small for Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese would shoot over him. Tim Hardaway was quick. You know what I mean? And he was great. Get to the basket, no problem. Thick little point guard, but
I don't think they're talking about battling it on the court right now.
Oh no, not at all. That I would probably give to Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So yeah, Scrappy goes to the Hardaway from the '90s, right?
So the Blazers, they have a chance. I'm not holding out hope. Because also. Wanted to get to this maybe at some point, maybe in the next hour. There's a team in the NBA where it's I feel resigned to the fact because this is one of my worst fandom sports years that I can remember that there's a team in the NBA where they're going to win the championship. And that's just how my life is going. And I want to also get in the second hour a veteran quarterback that is possibly going to be on the move and some other stuff to fill out hour number two. We'll find out what that other stuff is. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan.